Joe Rexroad from the Tennessean joining us. I would say you're joining us here at SEC Tip-Off, but we're not really near any of the SEC Tip-Off stuff, nor do we want to talk basketball right now. But it's good to see you here at SEC Tip-Off.
It's good to be here a couple days after Eric Decker had 7 catches for 88 yards, which I think is like Andre Johnson's entire production from last season, right?
You would feel better about this, though. You have to know this. You'll feel really good about yourself. He said your articles are getting better.
Really?
Well, they're not as off the ball. Yeah, I'm really glad we can all celebrate Eric Decker not going over 100 yards, not having a touchdown against the worst defense in the NFL. I mean, if that is the standard that we are holding ourselves to when we
Andre
write
Johnson
those
2.0,
columns,
that's the standard you
Andre Johnson didn't stay around long enough to get to play against the Colts. If Andre might have had a decent game. Now, I will say this. Here we sit today, Joseph. The Titans are 3-3. They're going to win this Sunday against Cleveland, although my friend over here is going to get all nervous when we talk about if it's a for sure win.
It's the NFL.
But they are for sure going to win on Sunday. So do we feel good about the Titans this year? Do we feel like they're where they should be? I mean, where do you sit on where the Titans are right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're too far from where they should be. I mean, considering that they didn't have Marcus for a game and a half, and, of course, the half game he missed, that was a lost game anyway. I mean, you look around this league, and I've heard you guys talk about this. I've heard you talk about Flay. I mean, Jacksonville's the best and worst team in the league alternating weeks, I swear. The Titans have been erratic. I don't think they're going to be great on defense, but I don't think we thought they were going to be great on defense. Can they be like what they were in the second half against Indy? Can they be solid? And I think they can be great on offense still. And, you know, if Corey Davis comes back, I think the potential for that offense is to be in a very short list in the NFL, and I think that could be enough to win the league. To win the AFC South. So I think they're in a decent spot right now.
One of the positions that's really interesting to me, I guess, is the receiver position. You know, we look at it right now and you see holes and you're a little bit concerned. And like last week, Decker steps up. But then you see Taylor run past everybody and catch that long ball. And you go, that's kind of interesting. And we've got another guy who happens to be the fifth choice in the draft that hasn't even put a jock on yet. You know, imagine, how do you picture all those guys once they get healthy and get back together?
Yeah, because you have two known commodities in Delanie Walker, you know, and then Rishard Matthews. And that's what the Colts just were not, you know, they were very focused on those guys, as everybody is. So now if you can get Taywan more involved, and I think Decker, that's what I thought Decker would be more this year, really.
Okay.
And I know it was training camp, running around in shorts, but he and Marcus had a good chemistry. And so if that happens, then you bring in Davis. You know, they missed Tajay Sharp. They've missed him this year. I mean, he's a guy you could count on to go out there. Don't give me that look, Jared.
I mean, I like
he was a pretty good player last year.
Joe Rexroad with the Tennessean is with us. I'm not ready to sit here and have the how much do they miss Tajay Sharp discussion.
He would have produced some for this team, especially a couple weeks ago when they couldn't get Taywan on the field and Decker, you know, he did look slow and just – I mean, Terry Rubisky said last week, kind of surprised me, you know, Taywan Taylor, you expect he's a rookie. He was in that system at WKU. It's going to take him some time. But he said, you know, Decker still hasn't caught on to everything, all the terminology on the little – all the choices and all the reads, and he's messed up some big plays. And that was kind of surprising to hear about a guy who's been in the league so long, but it is new for him. So – Tajay Sharp, I think healthy this year, probably gets a lot of snaps and makes some plays. But Corey Davis, the thing is, you almost forget about him now, you know. And
we were talking about him yesterday, and he says, "Well, he's out this week. What do you think?" I said, "I don't care."
It's like you just assume, right?
Yeah,
but he's good.
Call me when he's back.
Yeah,
then I want to play here.
Joe Rexroad is with us. Here's my biggest thing with the Titans, and I really believe this, and I think there are a lot of people out there that probably are going to disagree. My biggest thing is we get all into Marcus and we get into the running backs and we get into like the stars of the soap opera. They can't get to the quarterback. And that's what's going to ultimately burn them, is that they cannot get to the QB. I'm sitting there watching, and I know they only gave up 3 points in the second half against the Colts. And those 3 points were because they allowed a kickoff return to about the 40. But Jacoby Brissett just stood there in the entire first half, and against Deshaun Watson, they couldn't do anything against him, and they've got no pass rush, and I have seen the Titans build playoff and Super Bowl contenders off of pass rush, and they have no pass rush whatsoever, and nobody talks about it.
Well, I think the interior rush is really lacking right now. And, you know, last year Morgan and Arakpo on the edge were good, and they're still good. I mean, those guys make some plays. They had a huge blitz in the second half to force Brissett to throw that PI.
See, you got sucked into the Morgan trap. Morgan is not good. Morgan is not bad, but he's not good. But because the Titans have had so many bad players for so long on defense, Morgan has kind of stood out as a not bad player, so he must be good.
I think he was really pretty good last year. I think he was pretty good last year. But I agree, like, inside they're getting nothing. And I don't know if Casey hasn't been as disruptive this year. You know, Sly Williams so far, that pickup, it hasn't produce much. They miss Aaron Wallace right now, and I think that would help their pass rush. Aaron Wallace is a player who can do some of that, and of course we know about Kevin Dodd. I mean, he's sitting on the shelf. So no, I agree. I think it's a problem. They have 6 sacks. They had 40 last year. I mean, they're not close to that kind of pace, and that is where I see it. I still think Arakpo and Morgan, when he gets back, he's got that abdominal strain. I think those guys will still can get off the edge and make plays, but they're getting nothing inside. It's not like the Colts are very good offensive line. It's kind of troubling.
And if you get the inside pressure, you collapse the pocket, then all of a sudden those guys step out, and now you're rush up, you know, outside the tackle. You're in great shape.
It's huge, so important to have that.
Yeah,
Casey, you know, I don't know. I know he was banged up early in the season.
He stinks compared to what he normally is.
Or maybe he just stinks.
Yeah, he's not giving you anything, and he's a great player that's not giving you.
No, he's got to give more. And Carl Klug, too. You don't forget him last year. Carl Klug in third downs last year.
Well, Floyd wanted to cut him before
the
season.
He'd get after
bits. And I'm not sure I wasn't right.
No, I know you were right, but the people on Twitter and the callers were very happy.
He does not look like himself.
He is not the same.
Yeah.
And may never be the same.
Right.
So to answer the question, how do we feel about the Titans right now?
Yeah, again, I think the defense is – I do think the secondary is better. I do. And I think the linebackers played great the other night. I mean, Woodyard, you know, Williamson gets the strip. I mean, Jayon Brown had 3 big third down plays, 2 in coverage, and then he had the blitz. I think they can be okay on defense. The secondary is better. But, yeah, I think you're right. That up front – you know, they let the Colts run a lot more in the first half than I thought that they would in that game at all. And, again, the pass rush, they're going to have to outscore good teams to win games, you know. But I think they can if they get all the pieces back on offense. And they can
win a lot of games. You think they can go to Pittsburgh on that Thursday night football and go outscore the Steelers?
I mean, Big Ben threw 5 picks to the Jags last week. And then they go to Kansas City and they're amazing. The NFL is just, you know.
I'll be honest with
you. Sure.
We talked about it yesterday. 27 teams – are within a game of each other.
Yeah, exactly.
They're either 4, 3, or 2. And there's 1 or 2 up at the top, and there's 1 or 2 at the bottom, and then there's 27 of them all smashed together there. And it doesn't matter who you are. And that's why we talk about, when we talk about Cleveland, I said, look at Denver. Look at Atlanta. Look at, you know, what happened to them with teams that are not very, you know, 0-5. It's hard to get worse than that. So
look, I mean, San Francisco's one of those 0-6 teams. They could easily be 4-2 right now.
Look
at their games. I mean, the Browns maybe not, but even the Browns, I think, are competitive on defense. And I think Myles Garrett's a good player. You know, one of these weeks, DeShone Kizer, a light will go on, and he'll you know, hit some big shots, and they'll beat somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so I don't know if you like that or not in the NFL, but that's what it is this year. I can't remember a year more unpredictable than this one.
Well,
so
parity has always been their number one, you know, goal.
Yeah.
And this year it looks more than ever because it doesn't matter. I said every a traditional year by this time, teams have weeded out. Good teams know they're good and bad teams know they're bad. And so, you know, starting about this time, you play them, and it's, if you play a bad team, they'll kind of give it up to you at some point in time. Not this year. I mean, every team, and Jacksonville may be the poster child. You know, you look at them and you say, wait a minute now. We kicked the heck, and they kicked the heck out of Houston, and then turn around and
go to Pittsburgh.
Unbelievable.
And they come home, can't beat the Rams.
Oh, amazing.
So, Jared, it's hard because I know you want to make sweeping judgments, you know, after each one of these performances, but they're just – the Titans are going to be all over the map the rest of the year still. I mean, there's going to be a couple that are just – terrific performances, and there's going to be that defense is going to let them down in some big games, too.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad from the Tennessean with us. We'll get some more Titans thoughts. I have a really odd Titans stat that I haven't set out there yet. I'm not sure if I will now or not, but I want to get to it. And I also, we haven't talked about Butch Jones, and we will certainly do all of that. 615-737-1025. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 1025, the game. Jared and the GM hanging out at, I almost said Bar Lines, at Kitchen Notes inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. SEC tip-off happening right now. All the coaches upstairs talking about, I don't know, what are they talking about, Joseph? Joe Rexroad from the Tennessean with the shoes?
John Calipari just sat there and made Louisville jokes the whole time. I'll give you the tape later.
I guarantee you John Calipari had no comment about anything that was shoe-related or FBI.
No, you're wrong. John Calipari actually had some really good stuff. He said behavior will change, which, of course, people will hear that with a snicker. But he had some interesting stuff about, you know, two and done. Some people want to do two and done. And, you know, his point is, okay, so if the choice is two and done or you can go right to the D-League, kids are going to choose the D-League. So now what you're doing is you are encouraging kids to not get any education at all. I know everybody rips on one and done, but if you start in college at some point, you can finish at some point. He made the point that they have lifetime scholarships. He talked a lot about that stuff, you know, so it's interesting. I mean, it's...
Was there discussion about shoe deals and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, that's about the extent of it. He said, well, we feel good about what we do. That was one quote from him.
I want to talk about it.
And, you know, behavior will change. He actually was, like, jokingly searching reporters for mics or for wires, you know. So, you know, he had some fun with it. But
now, see, this is
a lot
thing.
Of that today. Bruce Pearl's coming up soon, so...
That's a
There's
total.
The interesting one.
I'm telling you right now, it's a total diversion. His whole two and done discussion is so that Joe will write his column about the two and done, and not about whether or not Kentucky's cheating in basketball, which is fine either way. I'm just telling you that's what they're doing.
Are they?
Now to the Titans. I don't know. To the Titans, they play the AFC North the next four games: Cleveland, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. Then they get the Colts. And the reason I bring this up is because they had a little graphic on NFL Live yesterday talking about the Titans, and it was the percent chance to win those games. And each of the first three, Cleveland, Baltimore, and Cincinnati, is all in like the 70-60% range, and then it's 26% to beat the Steelers at Pittsburgh on Thursday night. I will settle out of court right now for three of those next four. Do you think, is it fair to hold the Titans accountable to win three of those four against the AFC North? Because I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's two at home. I mean, they should beat Baltimore and Cincinnati at home, and they should certainly win at Cleveland. So hold them accountable. If they want to win the AFC South, I think they need to do that. I need to, you know, if they're 6-4 at the end of that, 6-4 with six to go, you know, I think they'd be in decent shape knowing that. Like you said, they go to Indy, and I think the week after that is Houston here, right? So there you go.
Well, this is those four games are going to be some of those we've talked about before. Difference between being 10-6 and 6-10. There's about a dozen plays in those four games that will determine the outcome of all of them.
They better beat the Bengals. I mean, they're going to beat Cleveland, and they're probably going to beat Baltimore. I'm just saying they better beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati's going to be the toughest of those three.
Baltimore, you mean?
No, Cincinnati.
Oh, you think Cincinnati will be tougher than Baltimore?
I really do.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know how Baltimore scores points. It to me, but you brought up the Houston game. That's December 3rd. I feel like if they leave that game and they're in first place, they're going to win the division. Because after that, it's Arizona, San Francisco, the Rams, and Jacksonville.
So the Rams look pretty good right now.
Don't be blowing those teams up. You know, San Francisco hasn't won a game.
Stop with San Francisco.
And they have lost. The biggest margin of loss in five of the six was 3 points. They've lost 2-2, 3-3, and like five or something, whatever.
It's like the Chargers. I mean, you know, they're not bad, but they lose every game, and then they go beat the Raiders.
Except that the Niners actually do lose every game. And now they have Floyd's least favorite thing, a rookie quarterback. So I'm not too worried about that one. But, I mean, it's just it's going to be a fun season, I think. But it's all going to come down a little crazy. Speaking of not fun seasons, the University of Tennessee so far, not a fun season. We know that the next step is to fire the coach, and then the step after that is to hire the right coach. Floyd and I have already skipped past the firing of the coach stage. So how does Tennessee make sure they go about hiring the right coach?
It's a huge one. I mean, John Curry, I'm sure, did not want this to be on him this fast, but it is. You know, I mean, you've got to have a great search. You've got to have, I think, a person in charge. I mean, you want a committee, you're going to get input from, I'm sure, a lot of people. Peyton Manning, right? I mean, a lot of people around Tennessee. But John Curry has to lead the search and have the final say. And to me, there are a lot of intriguing candidates. I think it has to be someone who has demonstrated success as a head coach. Which, you know, a couple people on the list, a lot of popular lists will be T. Martin and Jim Bob Cooter. They're Tennessee guys. But, you know, to me, I would want someone who has been a successful head coach. I mean, I look at a guy like Mike Norvell at Memphis, and I think you kick the tires on that. Now, you might want to go higher profile than that, and everybody's going to talk about, you know, Gruden, which I don't think is remotely possible.
Well, if you pay him $13 million, you have a chance.
Well, hey, if he'd be willing, then I'd count it up. But I don't see that as realistic. But, you know, there are a lot of – look, you're not necessarily going to find – I've heard this, like, you're never going to find, like, the next Saban. Okay, fine. You can find a better coach than Butch Jones. And with all the advantages you have at that place, you can win at Tennessee.
Is Curry equipped to make this hire?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, the biggest, I guess, profile hire he's made is Bruce Weber as men's basketball coach at Kansas State, which was a solid hire. I mean, you know, Bruce didn't do what he wanted to do at Illinois after that great run, which wasn't with Bill Self's players. So I don't know. I mean, this is, you know, this is going to be sort of a career-defining hire for him, really.
Yeah, I don't trust him. And I don't trust – here's what I don't trust. Like, I don't know if I trust him or not. I don't trust the search firms. I don't trust the boosters. I don't trust – the same people that Tennessee and the athletic directors have always given in to every time. You know, the big money people always screw all this up. So unless you're a big money person that's going to give me $15 million right now to go hire the coach and the staff that I need for that coach, then get out of my way. That's the way I feel about it.
I agree. But that's why if you like, I don't think you take that job unless you feel comfortable that you're going to be able to actually have say in a situation like this. Now, I know things get maybe change once you're in it, but you know, I mean, if you're just going to be a puppet of the money people, you know, then you're going to fail. So I think John Kerr is a pretty smart guy.
What's the best thing to do for the program? Let's assume that Butch is gone. Is the best thing to do it now? Do it next week, do it at the end of the season, do it. Is there a best way?
I guess, you know, just let him take the beating in Alabama and then do it, you know. Don't make someone else. No, but I mean, to me, if you're 100% and you know, then I think I understand there's reasons to just hold off and don't have this super long search, but I don't know. This season and this recruiting class, those are secondary concerns, right? I mean, but
not
I do
to Floyd.
Well, but I do think that you probably have a better chance of getting to a bowl game if you do make a change. If it keeps going like this and it's so negative, and that's all the kids hear about, it's all they talk about, it's all they talk about with their friends. And if you get rid of that and you put Brady Hoke in and say, you know what, let's just play football and do the best we can, they probably win a couple more games than they would have. You know, so if that matters, that's secondary. But if it gets so negative that people are just can't stomach it, then I don't see why you keep them around.
Joe Rexrode from the Tennessean. So do you think it'll happen Sunday?
I wouldn't be shocked if it happened Sunday or Monday after this game. I'm not going to be shocked if it doesn't, but I think we're getting to the point where
I think they should do
possible.
It if they're going to do it this week. I think they should do it on Tuesday. Well, because Jared and the GM have Monday, we can react to the Titans. And then the Titans are on a bye. So if they want to fire him Tuesday,
sure.
And then we'll take the whole next week while the Titans are on the bye to talk about Tennessee and their football coaching situation. We would love that. You talk about the most opportune time. I think
I'm
Tuesday
sure they'll make a note of that.
Is the best bet for Jared and the GM. So, if you're in Cleveland covering the Titans this weekend and they fire Butch Jones, does your column then have to be about Butch Jones and not the Titans?
That's a good question. I'm going to Bama and Cleveland, by the way, so that'll be a fun little Sunday morning. Yeah. I'm still right about the Titans, but it'll probably just be like, hey, whip one up here. I'm glad you said that because I need to probably get a little more prepared than I am right now. thanks for the reminder.
Joe Rexrode from the Tennessean, and we will be sure to check out your awesome and horrific columns.
Improving.
In the paper.
Still
I have not seen a column in, what, 3 weeks that I've literally had to stop and say, Joseph. Because there are those columns that I read and I look at and I, And I just have to shake my head. Like, your pro Vandy women's basketball takes are just absurd. But
oh my god,
that's neither here nor there. Joe Rexroad from the Tennessee. We'll see you, Joe. Go check out Bruce Pearl. See what he's getting up to here at SEC Tip-Off. Coming up next, though, you got to hear what Nick Saban said about Tennessee. Even Floyd was chuckling when I played for him what Nick Saban said. We will get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.